Chapter 6 Ruination. I smelled the truth long before we saw it. The first hints were gentle, like snowflakes on a chill breeze. Wood ash and charcoal, a cold hearth on a winter's deep morn. But as Deol, Lachlan and I rode down the mare, I began to catch other notes on the wind. The sharp tang of scorched metal scratching at the back of my throat. Charred hair entwined in the rancid tang of burned shit and leather. And beneath it all, like a knife between my ribs, came a sickening perfume, boiled black and crusted upon still cooling stone. My whole body thrilled with it, the monster in me both repelled and inflamed, teeth grown razor sharp against my tongue. Great Redeemer. I'd sworn to my Astrid the day I buried her that I'd never drink from another. And it had been more than a year since that worst day. But my vow had been broken for me by my sister now. And as my thirst seethed at that awful scent on the breeze, I could only take a long swig of liquor to drown it, teeth gritted so hard they creaked. It's never felt like this before.
"What's that smell?"
Deol whispered. "Blood," I replied, swallowing hard. Lachlan nodded, glancing at me.
"Blood and fire."
I pushed thoughts of my thirst aside, set my mind to the danger we courted coming here. The monsters that had hit Avalen might be long gone, they might be but a heartbeat distant, and I knew it would have taken an army of the dead to crush a fort so well defended. Every step closer had me deeper afeard. Not for myself, but for the fate of Aaron and Baptiste, the people they safeguarded, but most for this girl beside me. Dior La Chance was many things. Lady of liars, queen of thieves, would-be saviour of the empire. But watching her from the corner of my eye, running my thumb over the name of my daughter inked across my fingers, I was beginning to realise how much this girl truly meant. Not to this empire, but to me.
"Where the hell is Selene?" I whispered.
I'd not seen my sister since before we found Lachlan. Though she could disappear for hours at a stretch, she'd surely return soon, and I was still pondering how to explain her presence in a fashion my old prentice might understand. Lucky had more reason to hate cold bloods than most, but I dare not mention the Grail to him after all that had happened at the monastery. Ash Drinker was a comforting weight in my hand, at least, the beautiful dame on the hilt ever smiling, her voice a stuttering silver song in my head.
I can't remember, Gabriel.
"Remember what?" I murmured, eyes on the snow-clad tree line.
"The night the pretty one led ye to the butcher, crimson glade. There was a woman, was a woman, was a woman, a queen."
"No queens in Osway," I replied. "She was a duchess. Neve Nine Swords."
"Ah, Nine Swords. Hair of gold, voice of thunder, mother of many."
"That's her," I sighed, glancing southwest. "I hope she and her daughters escaped Dunmay again before the Black Heart crushed it." "Ass Drinker still talks to you, eh?" I glanced at Lachlan, scratching his stubble as he stared at the blade in my hand. "She sings a lot these nights, but we..."
"She still call me Pretty One?"
I scoffed. "She never called you Pretty One."
"A red hand, elder son, pretty one."
"Good to see you again, Mademoiselle Ash,"
Lachlan called, doffing a tricorn that wasn't there.
"Pretty one."
"All right, that's enough," I grumbled. "Mind on the job now, eh, Ash?"
"There once was a locksmith named Job, who had an astonishing..."
"What happened to her?"
Lachlan gestured to Ash's jagged edge. "Her tips broke." I met my old prentice's eyes. mind swimming with visions of a lighthouse by the sea. I fancied I heard little feet then, crunching in the snows behind us as bright laughter rippled on the wind. Warm arms about my waist, warmer lips pressed soft to my cheek. Mind on the job now, eh, Lucky?
7 martyrs.
It was Dior who whispered, sitting up straighter and raising one shaking hand. She'd said barely a word on our trek south, sensibly subdued by Lachlan's presence. But I looked to where she pointed now, and saw, as she did, a gust of wind parting the snows ahead and revealing our goal, rising like a shadow before us.
Chateau Aveline, I murmured.
Even distant, it dominated the mare's gloomy shoreline. A solid mont of Nordland basalt, black as my bride's hair. Its base was encircled by thick walls, and a spiralling road wound up its slopes, dotted with hundreds of little houses. Crowning the peak was a castle of that same dark stone, keeping stoic watch over the valley below. A light in a sea of darkness, tended by men I loved more dear than any on earth. At least, so it had been a few weeks ago. And now?
It's ruined, Dior whispered.
The watch fires on the walls were extinguished, the battlements all unmanned. Smoke rose from the houses, broken black fingers winding up into iron skies. Through the snow I could see the hilltop keep had been shattered, just as Lachlan had said, its walls sundered, towers toppled like trees. I wondered if anyone had been alive to hear them fall.
Aaron, I whispered.
But the more I studied this picture, the less of it made sense. Aaron and Baptiste were apprenticed at Saint-Michon, and their home had been designed to stand against the dead. Yet though the keep was destroyed, the battlements around the mont were hale and whole, as if there'd been no siege here at all. I could still hear the crowd gathered on those ramparts the day I set out to save Dior, their eyes alight with hope.
The lion rides! The black lion rides!
But now the only sound was a soul-sick wind and the croaks of glutted crows.
Hello?
Dior cried, sitting up in her saddle.
Help!
Will you kindly shut your flapping trap, La Chance? I hissed, grabbing her arm.
If
anyone is alive down there, Lockie and I will go find them. Ideally without alerting every cold blood from Valens to Echev, our cocks are on the block.
I'm coming too,
Dior declared.
It's not safe. We've no idea what's still in there.
You're telling me waiting here alone with my arse in the wind is safer than sticking like a fly on shite to the most famous vampire slayer who ever lived?
I glanced at Lachlan, the young saint's lips twisting in a wry smile.
Seems your new apprentice is as sharp as your old one, brother.
Oui, I admitted. Good point, well made. Dior tipped her tricorn.
Merci, messieurs.
The girl lifted a black cigarelle to her mouth and lit it. I leaned over and flicked it right off her lips, sparks spraying into the biting wind.
Oi, the fuck was that for?
Comparing me to shit, you little shit.
Good point, well made.
Lachlan drew one of the 5 wheel locks from the bandolier across his chest, sharp green eyes scanning the snows ahead. Looking downriver to the remains of Aveline, I was torn which way to tread. We were upwind at least, so the dead wouldn't smell us coming. Rushing in blind here was madness, but it was a couple of hours to nightfall, and if we were heading into trouble, we should do it with dim daylight on our side.
Why burn the houses? Dior murmured. I thought vampires hated fire.
They loathe it, I replied, loading my pipe.
Cold bloods can't enter a home uninvited, lad, Lachlan told her. So when they take a city, they have their thrall swords set fire to the roofs. Gives the people inside a choice, eh? Leave shelter and risk slaughter, or stay inside and burn.
Dior blinked.
Thrall swords?
It's what we called them in the Order, I replied. Mortal soldiers of the Kith. Grim as it might sound, there are some folk who fight for the dead rather than against them. Dior looked aghast.
God's sakes, why?
Some join willingly, out of lust for power or darkness of heart. Others are just fools who think they'll live forever if given the bite. But most are simple captives, offered the choice between becoming a slave or a meal. She shook her head, bewildered.
I'd die before I served these bastards.
Most would say the same, I sighed. But truth is, nobody really knows what they're made of till they get offered that choice. Get on your knees and swallow, or get in the cage and be fucked with the rest of them. It took a while, but the cold bloods have got very good at what they do. Fear is their blade, despair their cloak. And there's no shortage of folk who'd feed their kin to the wolves if it had spared themselves the teeth. Dior gritted her teeth, hissing frost.
I'd rather die.
But that's the thing of it, lad. Lachlan met Dior's eyes, a shadow darkening that emerald green. The bastards don't kill you. They keep you alive.
Dior made the sign of the wheel, lips pinched thin as she looked back to the ruins of Avalyn. Meeting Lachlan's stare, I breathed a red sigh, binding my collar up over my face and tossing him a couple of spare silver bombs. All right, we head down together. Dior, don't leave my sight and be ready to bolt if I tell you. You see anything moving, shout. Or scream, whichever takes your fancy.
Depends how big it is, I suppose.
Lachlan chuckled, and with him beside me, Dior behind, we rode on, Avalyn looming larger with every step.
Alsusius's hooves crunched in the frost, my hand on my blade and my heart in my throat as we approached what was left of the sanctuary my friends had built.
The snow was a grey veil, a bitter gale snapping right in our faces, and my blood ran chill as I finally spied movement through the flurries ahead. Hold, I whispered, raising my hand.
Mother and bloody maid,
Lachlan breathed.
I knew it.
Dior shook her head, squinting.
What is that?
I raised my spyglass, belly sinking as all my awful fears were realized.
Meat wagon, I sighed.
It was sat on the ice near the chateau pier, drawn by a team of four skittish horses. The heavy wooden wagon, iron bars rising up from its tray to form a large rusted cage. Within was pressed a multitude of figures, and my heart twisted as I realized all of them were children, grubby and bloodied, jammed together like dry rations. Dim beneath the howling wind, I could hear weeping, cursing, barked commands. More figures were at work around the wagon, forcing little ones inside at sword point. A dozen soldiers in dark armour, hulking thugs all. But beyond, shuffling about the ice or staring hungry at the terrified captives, were at least two dozen wretched, dead-eyed and soulless. I drew breath to warn Dior to back off slow, but, true to form, the Almighty took the chance to slip his cock into my earhole. At that moment, the wind shifted, west to northerly, howling now at our backs. I saw one of the wretched tents, a rotten old man in rags, head swivelling immediately toward Dior. More of the dead turned to us, lips peeling back from jagged teeth, low hisses rolling down their line.
Shite, Lachlan hissed.
It was just as Selene had said. The ghost breath apparently did nothing to hide the girl's scent. As a shout rang among the soldiers, I rolled the dice in my head. We could flee, if we chose, barrel back up the ice on horseback, faster than they could chase. But if an army had struck Avalyn, this seemed to be its leavings. A few thrall swords and wretched left behind to clear out the dregs of a city already lost. I wanted to know what had befallen Aaron and Baptiste. But more, most, the sight of those poor children in that cage was giving birth to fury. Dark memories of darker days, days of blood and glory, of holy war and grim atrocity, and mournful pipes singing over a crimson glade.
A thrall let loose a long peal on a raised horn, the notes hanging on the frozen air as I glanced to Lachlan beside me.
Fancy a dance, brother?
My old prentice smiled, hand to his hilt.
You're back. My bleed.
The horn's echo was ringing down the riverbanks now, and I heard footsteps crunching on the frost in answer. And looking through the veil of mist and snow, I saw them. Three highbloods emerging from the chateau gates side by side, my skin running chill at the sight.
Seven fucking martyrs.
The first was a lad, 17 or so when he was killed. Osway-born, his skin was marble, long rust-brown hair framing flat, flint eyes. He was big and brutish. Dressed in furs, tattered cloak, heavy boots, a hauberk of dark mail. A bloody handprint was smeared on his face, and the great sword he carried was bigger than I was. The second cold blood was a mountain of bearded muscle, 6.5 feet tall, near as wide. Despite the cold, he wore naught but a kilt and heavy boots, hands big as feasting plates clutching a warhammer that could crush a castle wall to rubble. His head was shaved and strangely bereft of ears, only two nubs of flesh remaining on either side of his skull. From the fresh holes in their armour, the hateful stares they threw his way, I guessed these two were the pair who'd slain Lachlan's horse. But, fearsome as they were, I spared each only a glance, my eyes drawn instead to the monster walking between them. She was tall, broad, a daughter of Ossian warriors. Her skin was pale as frost, eyes green as the grass of days long dead. Her long copper-brown hair was bound in slayer's braids, and she wore leathers and furs decorated with jewellery of human bone. A massive war maul was held in both fists, solid iron, its head the size of a child's coffin, wrought like a roaring bear. Her belt was hung with a half-dozen iron manacles, clinking as she strode toward us. Her kilt might once have been woven with colours of her birth clan, but was now black, stitched with bears and broken shields, the sigil of the Blood Divok. She trudged from the ruined chateau with heavy tread, flanked by the brute boy and the earless mountain, and at the sight of her, my fury gave way to a cold and perfect rage. "I thought we killed you, bitch," I whispered.
"You know them?"
Dior asked. "Never met those two," I nodded to the pair at her sides. "But the woman is Chiara Divok, the wolf mother. She ran stock raids for the farms at Trior Baila." Dior blinked in question as I unbuttoned my greatcoat.
"Slaughter farms,"
Lachlan explained, stripping himself shirtless.
"The Untamed built them when they launched their first invasion of Oswey 15 years back. They kept their captives there. Men, women, children."
"Why would..."
"For food, Dior." I saw her eyes widen as she took my meaning. "People kept like cattle to sate the thirsts of the Divok armies. The Silver Order liberated Trior Baila when I was 19 years old. The leeches were feeding the bodies of the dead to their captives to keep them alive. Hundreds of cages. Thousands of people. I can still smell the fucking stench when I close my eyes." I glowered downriver at Chiara, fangs growing long in my gums. "And that hell bitch helped fill them." Dior looked sickened to her stomach, swallowing hard. Again I glanced around for Selene, but I could see no sign through the wind-swept snows. Slipping down off bear, I stowed my gear, tightening my bandolier about my bare chest as I glanced to the girl. "Back off. 300 or 400 feet downriver. Things go bad, keep running."
"Gabe, I don't need you to..."
"I know you've a mind to prove yourself. But Chiara Divok is a monster with a century of slaughter under her belt. You don't even have a sword. Pick your battles, Dior." I turned pony about over the girl's protest, smacked the Susia's rump. Pony bolted, Dior yelping and hanging on for dear life as Lachlan and I turned toward the enemy. The dozen thrall swords had formed up alongside Chiara,
but after sensing Dior the Wretched had just come charging upriver toward us. The wind was freezing on my naked skin, yet my aegis burned brighter as the dead drew closer. That long-forgotten warmth brought a surprising comfort, blood-red light smouldering through the lion on my chest, my daughter's name on my hands, mingling with the silver flame of Lachlan's dauntless faith. At the sight of that glow, Chiara held up her hand, roared at the charging Wretched to halt. Yet only about half the monsters obeyed, the rest not breaking stride as they dashed toward us. I raised Ashdrinker in grim salute, my aegis now burning with bloody heat as Lachlan started firing, shot after shot from his brace of trusty wheel locks. And as the dead ploughed into us, eyes narrowed against their blinding glow, my blade and I danced like in days of glory. Limbs were hacked from rotten torsos and heads tumbled from gushing necks as Ash hummed an old song in my head, the tune bittersweet, a nursery rhyme I'd sing to Patience back when she was a little girl, woken by terrors in the dark.
Sleep now, my lovely, sleep now, my dear. Dark dreams will fade now your papa is near. Fear not the monsters, fear not the night. Papa is here now and all shall be right. Close your eyes, darling, and know this be true. Morning will come and your papa loves you.
At the end of the slaughter, corpses were scattered across the ice at our feet, smouldering and sundered. Lachlan was spattered head to foot in red, Dior's sword dripping in his fist, bodies cleaved like meat on the butcher's block all around him. Ashdrinker was smoking in my grip, her blade dusted grey, dipped red. The light of forge fire blazed on my skin, bloody eyes now falling on the wolf mother.
We know her,
that we do.
We hate her.
That we do. Chiara stood 50 feet downriver in the chateau's shadow, the bones she wore clinking in the wind. A dozen Wretched were held poised before her, trembling with animal desire for the kill, the two highbloods beside her glowering at the lion burning upon my chest. A child in the wagon cried out to me as a thrall sword slammed the cage door, the horses whinnying in fear of the dead around them. Lachlan reloaded his pistols. But I stared only at Chiara, mind filled with images of the day we liberated Triur Béile. Dead bodies hung and butchered, the remains of the lucky used to keep the lesso alive. Stick-thin fingers reaching toward me through rusting bars. Charnel pits full of bones.
The black lion, she snarled, and his traitor cub.
The wolf mother's voice was a thick West Ossian growl, the Wretched hissing in reply. The brute beside her slid that terrible greatsword off his shoulder. The earless one hefted his warhammer, but I paid them little mind, just staring as Chiara reached to a small golden vial about her throat and took a long swallow. I tipped my tricorn.
Been a while since Crimson Glade.
How do, Chiara? Baring red teeth, she raised her double-handed maul in marble fists.
I heard you were dead, De Leon.
Heaven was full, and the devil was afraid to open the door.
Then the devil is a coward.
Speaking of, I looked her over, eyes narrowed. Rumour had it you got ended the night I took Toliev's head. Looks like you saved your own skin instead. The wolf mother glowered as Lachlan fixed his eyes on the brutes beside her.
What are your names, Coldbloods?
He called.
Cain de Vork.
The younger vampire lifted a golden vial around his neck, similar to the one Chiara wore, taking a swig.
Though most folk call me the headsman.
Well, ye murdered my cinder, headsman. I've had that horse since I was a bairn. So I think I'll just call ye cunt.
Lachlan flicked a sluice of dark blood off his blade, glancing to the largest of the trio.
What about you, big boy? What name do they call you by?
The bearded one quaffed from his own vial, snarled with blood-red fangs.
Rickard Devok.
Nay, that won't do at all. Lockie pursed his lips thoughtful.
What about Dick, for short? Childish, I know, but you've the look, what with a bald head and nae ears like.
Lachlan looked back and forth between the vampires, smiling.
Dick and Cunt. Nice symmetry, eh?
Rickard and Kane glowered as I raised Ashtrinker, my eyes still locked on Kiara.
We have bones to pick, you and I.
Aye,
Kiara replied, hefting her maul.
That we do.
You've 10,000 deaths to answer for, bitch.
And you've only one, bastard. But we'll repay the both of you for it now, I vow it.
Kiara looked to the wretched and thrall swords about her, weighing the odds against the hate in her heart. The sun was yet up, and, as I'd guessed, whatever force had struck Aveline, this seemed to be the dregs of it. But still, she had the numbers, and lips peeling back from her fangs, the wolf mother spat as if she'd a mouthful of venom.
Kill!
Her wretched surged into motion like wild dogs off their chains, Kiara running behind the mob with her cousins and thrall swords beside her. Lachlan hurled his silver bombs to break up the pack, but as the explosions cracked and boomed, the drays chained to the meat wagon startled, bucking and stomping. Beasts of earth and sky loathe the dead, Cold Blood, and the animals were already terrified. As Lucky's bombs burst, as the echoes rang, the poor drays reared up in a panic and broke into a run, dragging the wagon of screaming children behind them out onto the ice. Kane was swinging left to outflank us, and thinking him the smallest of the trio, Lucky and I both dashed to meet him, fixing to end him quick. But fearless, fearsome, the vampire swung that massive two-hander in a whistling arc, his body sailing forward with it, driving him right toward us in the first few spinning, thundering steps of a Devok tempest.
Jean-Francois lifted a brow in question.
Tempest? De Lyon?
The Silver Saint nodded.
The untamed wield weapons far larger than mortals can carry, for intimidation, as well as effect.
That sword of Cain's weighed a good 300 pounds at least. God only knows about Kiara's maul or Rickard's warhammer. Thing is, even if you're strong enough to swing a weapon that weighs as much as you, its weight is still going to drag you with it when you swing it. That's just the way mass and force work.
So the best Devok warriors fight in an ancient Cold Blood style called the Anya, the Tempest. They use the weight of their weapons to fling themselves around as they strike, moving with the momentum, spinning and shifting direction, cutting anything in their path to bloody pieces. It makes the Devok near unstoppable on the battlefield, and absolutely fucking terrifying.
Kane scythed toward us, boots skidding on the ice as his blade tore the air. But frightening as it was, Lachlan and I had spent long years fighting his kin in the Osway. And while the untamed are strong as devils, their flesh is butter compared to an Ironheart's. Dropping to our knees, we let momentum keep us skidding along the ice beneath Kane's blow, the pair of us rising up now beneath it. Lachlan's blade sheared through the vampire's belly, long spools of desiccated guts spraying through the air, and as the angels on my arms carved blurs of light on the gloom, Ash sheared his arm off above the elbow.
Kane, Kiara bellowed. Where ye?
Brute boy roared, slung off balance by his blade now, and I turned about to end him. But the wretched ploughed into us then, blinded and thrashing, all in a tumbling mob. I felt one crash onto my back, teeth ripping my skin as we fell. I bellowed, punching the monster in the mouth, twisting to my feet as Lachlan hewed another pair into quarters. Big Rickard was flying toward me now, Kiara beside him, swinging that terrible maul of hers like it weighed a feather. Her steel moved so swift, the air fairly boomed behind it, and I was forced into a desperate parry. Never a good idea when the weapon being swung at you weighs more than a man. Even turned aside, the force of her blows sent me sailing down the river and smashing onto my back, black stars bursting in my eyes. I heard someone scream, thumping footsteps and panicked horses, spitting blood as ash sang in my head.
"Gabriel, are you well?"
"Didn't need those ribs anyway." A wretched loomed over me, lunging with a voiceless hiss. I managed to roll aside, taking off its legs with a swipe from Ashdrinker's blade. But Rickard was thundering toward me again, flanked by Kiara, her eyes alight with hatred. And looking past the wolf mother through the driving snows, I felt my heart drop like a stone in my chest.
"Allow me to guess," Jean-Francois murmured. "La chance had returned."
"Like a case of the scratch," Gabriel nodded. "That bleeding heart of hers had started gushing at the sight of those little ones in that wagon, and she was chasing them out onto the ice now, compassion bidding adieu to common sense. She couldn't ride worth a damn either, almost spilling from her saddle, crying out as she made a desperate leap into the driver's chair. But she managed to snatch up the reins, dragging the panicked beasts to a slow and slipping halt in the middle of the river. Dior was out of the chair in a blinking, crawling over the cage's roof to its door. But with a curse, she found it locked, the wailing captive sealed inside. Cain had scooped up his fallen greatsword, he and Lachlan now carving their way across the ice in a brutal, spectacular brawl. My old prentice was born of the Divok clan and of deeper pedigree than most. But he was still only a pale blood, and Cain's strength was terrifying. Even one-handed, the headsman was somehow giving as good as he was getting. Kiara was stalking toward me, maul dripping with my blood, Rickard beside her. But with sinking heart, I saw her thrall swords had now turned on Dior. And, stubborn fool that she was, the girl turns to face them, drawing her silver steel dagger in one pale fist.
"No, Dior, go,"
I roared. She glanced at me, back over her shoulder to the helpless children in that cage. Outmatched as she was, I could see she was determined to defend them. The thrall swords were closing, the wolf mother and Rickard between me and her rescue.
"Damn you, girl, run!"
I cut down another wretched, reeling back as Kiara's maul ripped the air. Half blinded by my aegis, the wolf mother's next blow sailed wide, the weight of her weapon sending her skidding past me. Rickard bellowed as he swung his massive warhammer, the river beneath us crackling as I slipped aside the blow. Kicking the bastard's knee with my silvered heels, I struck at Kiara's back, a smoking gash carved through her flesh as she roared and dropped her maul onto the ice. I could boil their veins dry if I managed to get my hands about their necks, but though the sun was in the sky, the pair were undaunted, and one solid strike from their fists would smash my bones like glass. Behind my foes, Dior raised her knife, lashing out at the thrall swords with a ragged cry. Her strike missed by a mile, but the soldiers backed off, circling and wary. Kiara lunged at me barehanded, my belly rolling as she seized a fistful of my hair and ripped it out at the root. Snarling, I reached for her throat, catching only that golden vial about her neck. The chain snapped, vial sent flying as a blow from Rickard's warhammer hit me like a runaway carriage. I felt my ribs splinter, blood and spit exploding from my lips as I flew, weightless, senseless, tumbling through the air as all the world ran to grey. I must have landed another 50 feet upriver, too stunned to even feel the impact as I crashed onto the ice. Rolling onto my belly, I coughed red and struggled to rise, to breathe. I could hear Dior shouting over the ringing in my ears, groping about on the ice for my sword.
"I'm starting to suspect the Almighty might be genuinely annoyed with me.
Ye committed mass murder on sanctified ground not 2 weeks ago.
They were bastards, Ash.
So are ye, Gabriel.
Touché.
Kiara and Rickard were charging toward me, Lachlan still brawling with Kane. I had to get up, had to move, blood in my eyes, head tolling like funeral bells as my fingers closed around Ash's hilt. Spitting red, I leaned on her and tried to rise, failing, slipping back to one knee, too hurt to even meet my death on my own two fucking feet. But I heard footfalls on the frozen river then, soft boots on new snow. Kiara and Rickard slowed their charge, boots skidding on the frost, eyes narrowed to paper cuts. Drooling blood, I looked up to find a slender figure standing now beside me, clad all in red. The light spilling off my skin glinted on the porcelain of her mask, threw a long shadow onto the ice between us and the untamed. Dropping into a low, courtly bow, Selene hissed, "Greetings, Divok." And with those words, she dragged her mask aside. I'd seen it before, but my stomach still turned as the horror of my sister's face was laid bare. From the cheekbones up, Selene was a comely maid, fine-boned and beautiful, so akin to our mama, it made my heart ache to see. But the skin on the bottom half of her face had been ripped away, ropes of muscle and pale bone exposed, fangs gleaming in her lower jaw, the once temple of her flesh now a ragged, broken ruin. Rickard stared at my sister in the falling snow, fangs bared.
"Who are ye, cousin?"
"No cousin of yours," she replied.
My sister crossed one hand over another, dragging sharp fingernails along her palms. Blood flowed like twin serpents, one sluice forming itself into a curved sword, the other a whip-long flail as the scent. God, it struck me like a spear to my aching belly.
"I am Selene Castia, Sword of the Faithful, Laethe of Dread Wulfric."
Dead eyes gleaming, Selene raised her blade toward the untamed.
"And I am deliverance for you and all our accursed kind."